Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Welcome back into another episode of the Financial Flight Plan podcast, where we talk about retirement, investment, financial strategy, a lot of different things on this episode. And we do so with Bree Reyes and her father, Tim Estes, who joins us today. Welcome on.
Hey, thanks. Good to be on the podcast today. Bree's been doing a fantastic job on the podcast, and today we have a topic that's near and dear to my heart, so I decided to join the show.
Yeah, when I saw this topic, and I've only sat in for a couple episodes with Bree, but when I saw this topic, I immediately thought of you, because when we did our last couple episodes, she mentioned, you know, your past and your history. So the topic of what flying teaches us about retirement could not have been picked out for a better person than you.
No, Captain Tim Estes is probably the biggest expert that I know on this topic, and I can brag on my father a little bit here. He's a naval A-7 Corsair pilot, like my own personal version of Top Gun, I guess. So he's got a lot of fun things.
That's awesome. So how's everything been going with you guys recently?
Things are going great. Went to the game last night. The Rangers won, so they might even break 50-50 as far as wins and losses this year. So they're not completely in the cellar. So I guess that's a good thing.
That is awesome. Yeah, it's a great time of year for sports. I know your Aggies are playing as well, so I'm sure it's a pretty busy time in the household.
Yes, my baby is learning about Aggie football from dad, who's a little loud. So when we watch, he's going to have to tone it down the next couple of weekends.
Is dad the yell leader in the house?
Dad is a yell leader.
Yes, I am.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, very good. We have a fun show today, though, so we kind of touched on it briefly. But essentially, there are some important lessons that flying can teach us about retirement and retirement planning. So we're going to go through a lot of that. Let me remind you first, though, about Bree and Tim. They are the investor coach and certified financial planners at Estes Financial Service. They are serving the Fort Worth Metroplex area, and you can find them online at estesfinancial.net. They're also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, a lot of places you can connect with both of them. And I think after today's topic, you might want to do so, because we're probably going to learn as much about flying, I think, today as we are about retirement planning, which is what I'm excited about. So let's dive right into it. You guys ready?
Ready.
Sure.
All right. So the first thing, you need a flight plan. Explain that to us and how that relates to retirement. It seems pretty obvious, but break it down for us.
Well, the big thing is, no matter what you do, whether it's flying in the military or flying with the airlines, you always have a plan. I remember back on the aircraft carrier, we would spend hours and hours and hours planning out a practice strike. Every little detail had to be planned out. We had to worry about fuel. We had to worry about our bomb loads. We had to worry about if there were any threats that were going to interfere with our mission. And the same goes with the commercial. There's a whole plethora of people that go into making sure that your flight from, say, Dallas-Fort Worth to Paris, France goes smoothly, and it's all done with planning. You know, you have to plan. So just like when you're getting ready to retire, or you're wanting to take care of your retirement and make sure that you have a happy and abundant retirement, you have to do planning. One of the things that I always did when I was flying is I made sure that I followed the checklist. That's why here at Estes Financial Services, we have what we call the pre-flight retirement checklist. And we take people through step by step by step. And what it does is it takes a lot of the emotions out of your financial planning, because we go through each and every step and we answer the questions and we discuss them and we see where the pitfalls and where the booby traps are to make sure that you do have an abundant retirement. Because the last thing you want to do is get up to, say, age 75 or 80, and then all of a sudden you're going, oops, I'm running out of money. What do I do? Nobody wants to go back to work at 75 or 80 years of age because they didn't plan appropriately. So that's where the planning comes in, whether you're flying a mission in the Navy, whether you're flying across the country or whether you're planning on retiring. You got to plan.
And you do a lot of that planning, Dad, on the ground. I mean, I see how long, even now in your plane, how long you plan before we go up. And if there's a problem, if weather pops up, you can make corrections in the air. We've certainly done that as a family flying, but a lot of it's done beforehand.
Absolutely. That leads to another point, is that you do have to make mid-course corrections. And just same thing with a financial plan. You have to make mid-course corrections. That's why we have our clients come in at least once a year to see if anything has changed, to see if any situations have come up, whether it be health issues or financial issues or family issues, because you're always making corrections. You're always aiming for your destination. And the destination in financial planning is an abundant retirement. So planning is very, very important. And it's nice to have a system like we do, where you take a step-by-step process, and that way you know everything gets covered.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. Part of that plan, I think of it as like the retirement income, I think of it as like fuel. You wouldn't fuel up planning for an international flight and have enough fuel to get you to New York, right? I mean, you want to make sure you have enough to last you to the very end of the flight, and that's kind of the same way. So that's very interesting. A lot of it's planning. I mean, planning in life in general, a lot of the work is done up front, and so you can enjoy the second half of that, and that's part of the case here. Now, when you're in the air, though, sometimes you come across turbulence, and people handle it differently. Some people don't mind the turbulence, continue reading their book, sleep right through it. Other people tighten the seatbelt, grasp their handles, and settle in. So how does that turbulence compare to your retirement planning?
Or you could be my husband and throw up.
Calling him out right yes. Here on the episode. How about that?
Yeah. Poor Joaquin has a little bit of a weak stomach. He's thrown up just by me turning the corner on a taxiway. So we
love you, hon.
we love him dearly, but he does have a little bit of a weak stomach.
You haven't taken him up in a jet then, I assume.
He does fine in the bigger ones, but in my my little Piper Malibu, you feel every little bump and hiccup, and so it just tends to get his stomach going.
I got you.
But, you know, to talk about turbulence, you can think about turbulence in your financial plan or in the stock market. It happens in the airlines. It happens in anything that you're flying. You're going to have bumps. Well, it doesn't mean you're not going to still make it to your destination. You still are going to make it to the destination. You're just going to have a little rocky road. Here's an example that I love to give to people. The press is real big on negative and everything. From 2000 to 2010, they call it the lost decade, that nobody made any money. Well, they're just looking at one index. They're not looking at the overall market. Our portfolios, if you stayed invested and kept a very planned out investment philosophy like we use, if you'd stayed with us and did exactly what we said, buy and hold and rebalance on our growth portfolio, your money would have doubled. You know, so when they're saying it was a lost decade, that covers 9/11, which we just commemorated the other day. It covers the big downturn and recession of 2008. But if you stay the course and continue on to your destination, you will get there. And so, you know, the best thing or the biggest thing that I can tell people is don't let a little turbulence interfere with your flight plan or your financial flight plan. You want to stay invested. You want to stay the course and not panic at the first sign of a little turbulence or a market downturn, because the market is going to go up. The market is going to go down. But overall, over the long term, the market's going to go up. And so you don't know when you're going to encounter turbulence. I can tell you from 40 plus years of flying, it can be clear and you can be able to see, 100 miles, and you can fly into a patch of air that's disturbed and it'll just bounce the living heck out of you. And you don't see it and you don't know it's coming until you're in it. And it's the same with your financial plan. You don't know. You just plan for it and go, okay, I turn the seatbelt sign on. I tighten my belt a little bit and keep on going.
And breathe.
And breathe. Don't forget to breathe. But it's just part and parcel of life. You're not going to have smooth air all the time. So the biggest thing is don't panic. Stay the course.
Yeah, and your pilot's much like your advisor. You trust that they have a plan in place, so you don't have to worry about those ups and downs. You just ride through it, ride it out, and you're good. I'm just curious personally, what was is there a time that you had significant turbulence that you still remember that maybe even shook you up a little bit?
Good question. I don't think I even know this.
We had one flight. It didn't really shake me up. It had me concerned more so for the passengers. I was flying the Fokker 100, very short flight. We were going from Nashville down to Birmingham, Alabama. And there were thunderstorms popping up like fireflies everywhere. And so we're dodging the thunderstorms. And the Fokker, the F-100, has a very, very stiff wing, which means that you feel every little bump. And we were just getting beat to heck and back during that flight. I mean, it was a very, very bumpy flight. The flight attendants, I kept them in their seats. They didn't even get up and do a service. It was only supposed to be a 30-minute flight. But we were picking our way around the storms. We're trying to stay away from it as best we can. And we finally land at Birmingham, and I'm standing at the front door as people are getting off. And, you know, I get some people going, "Oh my gosh, I was scared to death. And, you know, you got us here and thank you." And they were very thankful that we made it. And I said, "You know, you were never in any danger. It's just a bumpy flight." So, you know, that equates over to, here again, to your financial plan. You may think that it's going down in flames. Well, if you have a good financial coach like Bree or myself, you don't have to worry about it because we know what we're doing and we know how to get you to your destination. So just don't panic.
I picture that being one of those flights where everybody's applauding when you land.
They did.
Yeah, I could imagine that was the case. But, and that takes us kind of the next thing, because I'm sure during that situation, you needed help both from your instruments, from your air traffic control to help you navigate those storms. And that's much like planning. You can't do it all alone. You're going to need help from people to get you from point A to point B.
We very much love air traffic controllers flying now and before.
You know, you're exactly right. We used everything at our disposal. We used the onboard radar of the airplane. The co-pilot and I were talking and working together. He was talking to air traffic control. I was flying the airplane, and we were maneuvering it around the storms and trying to stay away from them as much as we could. And the worst thing you want to do is ever fly into a thunderstorm. You want to avoid them at all costs. And so we were avoiding the storms, and we went, you know, real far to the east, and then we came real far back to the west, and we finally did get to land in Birmingham. So there was a lot of coordination with air traffic control. There was coordination between me and my co-pilot, and there was coordination between me and the flight attendants so that the passengers knew what was going on, because I was a little busy and I couldn't you know, do the normal, "Well, we're cruising at an altitude of this many feet and we'll be there." You know, I didn't have time for that. I was too busy trying to get people safely from point A to point B, or from Nashville to Birmingham, and, you know, to get them there and get them safely on the ground. You know, what a lot of people tend to forget is it's my rosy pink body that's up front. So if anything happens, I'm the first one there. So I don't want anything to happen any more than you do. Mm-hmm. And it goes over, that kind of philosophy has followed me into the financial planning. You know, yes, it's your money, but it's my credibility and my reputation and my sense of integrity that I want to make sure your financial plan is the absolute best financial plan you have, and that it works for you, and that we get you to your final destination, which is an abundant retirement.
That's why we work with other experts, too. We have to reach out to other experts to help us with financial planning as well. That's why we reach out to estate planning attorneys sometimes, and CPAs as well. It's a coordinated effort, much like it is in a cockpit, right, Dad?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what's your favorite saying? There are old pilots.
Yes, there are old pilots. And there are bold pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots. And I have a head of gray hair.
Although he blames that on me.
I could see that. I love it. I love it. That's great stuff. And, you know, Tim was a Navy fighter pilot for more than 20 years, flew for American Airlines, and heard some of his personal stories. So I like the final destination to help you in your retirement planning get to your final destination, wherever that might be, wherever you hope to be in retirement. Both Bree and Tim can help you do that at Estes Financial Services. So look them up online, estesfinancial.net, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also you can call them at 817-444-8402. So I really appreciate that comparison, that conversation, Tim. That was enjoyable.
Thanks. And one other thing real quick that I want to add is this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart, and I'm putting together, and hopefully within the next 6 months to 9 months, I will be putting out a book basically talking about what we just talked about on the podcast, how aviation and my flying career prepared me to be a financial planner, and how the two similarities, you know, work to help people succeed. So we're still working on doing some of the research and writing it out. One of the possible working titles is Everything I Know About Financial Planning I Learned at 30,000 Feet, or something like that. So we're excited to get it out and get it to the people, but there is a book in works taking aviation and financial planning to the comparisons.
So are you going to have your author line be Captain Tim Estes, Certified Financial Planner? Are we going to get to call you Captain?
Maybe, maybe not.
To be determined.
Nate calls him Grandpa Airplane, so maybe he'll put that on there.
Well, keep us posted on that, and when it when you get closer to being finished, so we can let people know, because I think that would be a very interesting and intriguing book, both to learn the lessons, but also to kind of hear some of the stories along the way from 30,000 feet. So let's move forward in the show, and a couple things we want to get to before we wrap it up, and let's start with the getting to know you.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, this question, I'm interested in this because we all have this answer, our own special answer to this, and unique answer, and that's to this question. What's the most universally well-known or beloved movie that you've never actually ever seen?
I'll let Dad take the first one here.
Believe it or not, I've never seen, at least in its entirety, Gone with the Wind. I've seen snippets, I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never seen Gone with the Wind.
I thought you might say Top Gun. Who's going to throw me off if you had said that?
Oh, no. Watching Top Gun with him is an experience that everyone should get, because you learn how many different aircrafts they use to pretend to be the same plane. And there's lots of yelling. It's great.
I love it.
It's so much fun. My husband, the first time we did it, we watched it with Dad. We got in the car as we were driving home, Joaquin, and he didn't really know Dad all that well. And he was like, he's very passionate about that movie.
Yeah, you could say that. What's your movie, Brie?
Do I have to do it?
Yes.
Okay. My movie is E.T.
Whoa.
Because I'm terrified of it. My mom had my sister and I watch it when we were little kids. And the first scene with one of the beginning scenes where he's like behind garbage cans and noises are being, I was done. My sister was too. So to this day, we have never actually seen E.T. I refuse. And I will start crying. And so will my sister. And so what my father likes to do is, what do you like to do, Dad?
Every once in a while, if I'm wanting to tease my kids, you know, which is one of the perks of being a parent, is you get to play and tease your kids. I'll find a small snippet of E.T., you know, E.T. phone home.
I even hate it when he just does that. Like, don't do that.
That or a picture, and I'll send it to them, and they'll, oh, look, Dad sent us a picture, and they'll open it up, and it'll be E.T., and I'll hear this shriek from Bree's office, or, you know, Amanda, her sister, will text back, I hate you, don't do that to me. So I tease them a little bit about not liking E.T. I mean, who doesn't like E.T.? He's a cute little alien that, you know, wanted to go home. He eats Reese's Pieces. I mean,
that's the first, you're the first person I've ever heard with that answer. So
now my older sister is brave. It's just that it's me and my younger sister, but we are not.
Well, for me, it's always sci-fi movies. I don't watch a ton. So like, I guess the biggest one maybe that I haven't seen is probably Lord of the Rings. Never watched any of those.
I never have either.
Okay. So we're on the same wavelength there. Okay, good. But that's one that usually people would be like, you've never seen that? It's such a great series, great movie, but just could not get into it after the first few minutes, and I just checked out and moved on. So
yeah, same with Harry Potter movies. I haven't seen any of them.
Same here. We could get along, Tim, I think. We have a lot of the same taste, it appears. Yeah. Well, thank you both for sharing those movies, and I know how to get at you moving forward, Brie, with the E.T.
So we've got that to
hold over you at some point. All right, let's move in and answer a question from the mailbag before we wrap things up.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
All right, this question comes from Lonnie, and here it is. You can, either one of you can take this one. I've been planning to sell some investment property to do some different investing for retirement, but I just discovered how much I'll owe in taxes because of the increase in the property value since I bought it. So should I just hold on to that property?
There's a couple of ways you can go there, Lonnie. You can keep it, but then you're dealing with the, what I call the terrible T's, the taxes, the toilets, the tenants, the trash, all those things that you have to deal with being a investment property owner. Or if you want to get rid of it and get rid of those terrible T's, there's something called a 1031 exchange. It's part of the IRS tax code. And what you do is you can sell the property and then invest it in something they call it like-kind investment. So we can take the proceeds and put it into a investment property where you don't have to deal with any of the terrible T's, but you still have the benefits of getting a income stream off of it, and you defer the taxes on it until you end up selling that property. So you can just continue to roll this over using 1031s basically for the rest of your life. And the beauty of it is, let's say you do that for the rest of your life, you keep doing a 1031 and deferring the taxes. Upon your death, your heirs, whether it be your children or grandchildren or whoever, they get the step up in basis. What I mean by a step up in basis is it's as if they purchase the property on the day of your death. So there would be no capital gains taxes due on that property. So you could defer it forever, essentially.
And Dad gave a very basic definition and explanation of how a 1031 exchange works. The IRS, unfortunately, does not do anything easily. And so there's a lot of rules and particulars on a 1031 exchange, Lonnie. So you need to work with an expert to make sure you follow the IRS code to the law, and work with an intermediary, and there's all kinds of different things. So if you're looking at that, if that sounds interesting to you, give us a call or work with an expert in that, because it's very easy to mess that up.
We've done several, and our clients have been very, very happy with the 1031s we've set them up with. We've got one client that owned a duplex up in Colorado, and he was definitely tired of the terrible T's, the tenants, the trash, the toilets, the taxes, and everything. He hated that phone call at 2 a.m. saying, oh, my hot water heater blew up. What are you going to do about it? So we did the 1031 exchange. We followed all the procedures, and we put him into some investments that are paying him a nice little income stream, and he's just happy as a little clam. He thinks it's the greatest thing going because he didn't have to pay the income taxes or the capital gains on the property.
But it's not something you can do yourself very easily.
No, not at all.
Right.
So get with an expert.
Well, you can always reach out to Bree and Tim at Estes Financial Services online, estesfinancial.net, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also you can call their office as well, 817-444-8402. So I hope that answered your question, Lonnie. I think that's very interesting information, some good options you have there to potentially avoid those taxes and help better your situation. So if you have any questions, you can reach out to them, and hopefully we'll get them on the show in future episodes if we can. So thanks for taking the time for that. So on that note, we will wrap it up. Tim, always great to have you on the show, and appreciate your information on flying. It was the perfect topic for you.
Thanks. And for our listeners, you know, if you have questions, there are no stupid questions. Give us a call. We'll sit, we'll chat with you, we'll have a cup of coffee, and if we can help you, we'll help you. We want to help our clients and our potential clients have an abundant life. I mean, that's the best part of what we do, is seeing our clients leading an abundant life. I got a picture just the other day from one of my clients. He was up trout fishing, and he sent me this photo of this huge stringer of browns and rainbows and everything else. He'd been trout fishing. And that just does my heart good to know that he's living an abundant life.
That's wonderful. Bree, thanks for your time as well again today.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Make sure you subscribe to on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast so you can get the next episode delivered directly to you. And we'll look forward to talking to you next time. For Bree and Tim, I am Ben. This has been the Financial Flight Plan Podcast.